back to another episode of Songs That Send Us. It is a Wednesday that we're recording this. So, you know, happy midday, midweek. But you're going to be listening to this on a Monday or, well, you know.
Monday, so.
You never know.
Happy Monday.
They could choose to listen on a Wednesday.
That's true. Not everyone listens right when it comes out. So if you're listening to this on a Wednesday, you're having probably the same energy we're having
yeah,
right
make
now.
It a wine Wednesday, or, you know, if you don't drink, make it a... Is there anything new?
Wacky Wednesday.
I was going to say, are there any shows that come on Wednesday that people watch? I'm sure there are. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't actually know what comes out
That's,
anymore.
Wow, sad. Yeah, but here we are again. Lots been going on in the time since we've chatted to you last. And I will say, it's been a good musical month so far. The iconic, you know who we're going to talk about, Taylor Swift. She dropped Red, Taylor's version.
Re-release.
Wham bam.
Cannot be not talked about. I mean, it's iconic, obviously. The streaming numbers.
The short film.
Literally legendary. The short film. Yeah, the short film, so good. Brought us collabs like Phoebe and Taylor together. And for the first time, Taylor has a woman on a song and they're not just background vocals. We
Wait,
love to see
no,
that.
Is that actually the first time?
This is my one slightly shady thing about Taylor. Well, you could say the things, I guess. But, like, the one thing I hate is that when, in the past, anytime she's collabed with female artists, they are more of background vocals to her than they are a duet partner. But she's broken that. She listened to us.
Yikes.
Growth.
Did not realize that. So thank you for pointing
that
out.
No one attack me, please.
No, I know. No one ever probably mentions it because she's so iconic. Yeah. They don't want to ever, like, make a slight at her, but...
Yeah.
It was a great first one,
her.
Though. Adore that song with Phoebe. It's probably my favorite off of
Oh,
the
my
whole
God.
Thing.
Just the lyrics. I knew everything at 18
yes.
and nothing at 22.
Yes. How can someone know everything at 18 and nothing
oh,
at 22?
Oh, my God. Or how did I go from growing up to breaking down?
They're both.
That's nothing new to. Yeah.
Well, honestly, it was just extra great because they're both so amazing at, you know, writing songs and, like, making intentional lyrics, and their voices also just melded so well together. Like, Phoebe's kind of deeper one, and Taylor's just, like, smooth one. So, 10 out of 10, that song for me. And I also really liked the one she did with the Snow Patrol lead singer. The Last Time, it's called The Last Time, with Gary Lightbody is the guy from Snow Patrol. And it's very true, I think, to... Snow Patrol's sound, honestly, more than Taylor's, in my opinion, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really did enjoy all the From the Vault songs, to be honest. And it was just fun to listen to everything over again. Oh my God, yeah, and 10 Minute All Too Well, like, it really delivered. It delivered.
It's funny, we talked about it at work, and I think we spent like 5 minutes talking about the All Too Well 10 Minute version, which is funny, and apparently there's this account, have you heard of the social media account,
I don't think so.
It's so, I don't even know what really goes on, but it's basically all things pop culture rumors, and it's an inside source and spills all this tea on literally everyone.
Ooh.
And apparently, the actress in the bathroom, apparently it's Anne Hathaway that asked her what was wrong in the bathroom.
See, it's interesting because at first people on TikTok were saying it was Jennifer Aniston.
Oh.
And then I was seeing people correct it and say, actually, it's supposed to be Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, which I didn't realize. So super interesting. I also just thought Dylan did an amazing job in acting, and I love Dylan. He's still really hot and talented. And then
oh my God, yeah.
Sadie did great too, which I'm not super familiar with her outside of Stranger Things. I don't know what else she's been in, but she was great. And I want a wig of her hair, basically. Drop that hair care routine,
girl.
Oh
my God, seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, she's gorgeous. Yeah, they both act their little hearts out.
I would do like an hour of watching them, to be honest.
I know, seriously, I could have done for more scenes between them. I was like, okay, bring it to me. There was a joke tweet I saw that was, Taylor Swift is out here collecting all the dystopian boys. She's got to get like two more to finish her set because it's Dylan O'Brien who's in Maze Runner and then it's Miles Teller who's in Divergent series. And then like I think on the tweet it was like, Josh Hutcherson or something. They're like, gotta collect them all. But that would be kind of iconic.
The way I forgot that he still existed, I have not heard a peep out of Josh Hutcherson. Hutcherson? Hutchinson? What's his name?
Hutcherson.
I hope he's doing well. I want to see him in something. Yeah. He was like the boy of the moment when we were younger.
Yeah, I think he's still doing some things, but he's good. Definitely more low-key.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hmm. Logan Lerman had a resurgence. Maybe it's time for Josh to have a resurgence.
Logan. Literally, my whole head has just been red, though, so those were just my thoughts. But if you had other songs you would like to share with us today for Bop Top, please do.
Yeah, I'll make you. I mean, I'm always listening to good stuff, you know, can I say? But
it's true, you got taste.
I'm a woman of taste. I'll share one with you, yeah. I've been doing loads of shuffling of my liked songs, so I'll share one of the ones that I've been coming back to in the car when I need a little pick-me-up. The Street You Live On is the song by Remy Wolf.
So different. It's such a mix of genres because there's that like heavy beat that almost feels a little R&B, and then there's definitely like electronic influences.
Yeah,
that's really interesting. I feel like that would be a great song in the car to jam to. Yeah, with all that bass, you'd be like, ooh, I'm vibing.
And I think she overall has a really cool kind of sound that you don't hear often. She did a cool collab with Wallows, I want to call them Wallows, which I'm just going to play you a quick like little snippet of because I think it's also a fun one. And I use fun loosely here. Like, fun doesn't necessarily mean have to mean it's like super upbeat, but I think it's like fun what they do with the sound.
Yes. A break, let you close your perfect eyes, cause there's no need to explain. I know what you wanna say. We can just say goodnight if you think that's alright. There's no need to explain. I know that we can relate. Can we get up and try to feel okay again? There's no need to explain. I know that we can relate. Can we get up and try to feel okay again?
Okay, that she did with Wallows and Remy Wolf there.
I like that too. Wallows is one of those groups I'm interested to see what they do. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they're gonna keep evolving and doing cool things.
I don't know why. I think they're bigger than Mitt Romney, but I feel like so far the trajectory is a little bit similar in my mind. So that's that.
That's that.
Let us jump into this TikTok, like, widespread trending song right now, and it is called 17 Going Under by Sam Fender. Please give us some background, Danny.
Yeah, this is a really interesting piece, a really interesting guy. This song, I heard about it because of TikTok, like you mentioned, and there's a trend going around right now with some of the lyrics, which is in the verse 2. It's, I was too scared, I was far too scared to hit him, but I would hit him in a heartbeat now. That's the thing with anger. It begs to stick around. Which, it's kind of really this cool thing that's happening, like this very like emotionally vulnerable thing where women, and I maybe men too, I've only seen women on my TikTok feed though, that use it to kind of call out previous abusers in their life. And I don't know, I feel like it's been this really kind of lovely thing because it's these people putting these moments out of extreme vulnerability and emotion, and the comments are always just this like overpouring of support, which is so beautiful. And so that's what made me listen to this song, and definitely those lyrics hit so hard, and I think maybe are kind of the best lyrics of the song, maybe. But the song in general is really interesting because it's far more autobiographical explicitly than anything we've talked about before. And there's some really interesting concepts about anger, and kind of specifically, I feel like young male anger, but things that can be applicable to anyone. And that's kind of something we haven't really ever explored in the songs we talk about, so it'll be kind of interesting. But Sam Fender himself is a English musician.
He's really good looking. I didn't realize.
He's side a note. Cutie. And he's pretty young. I think he's a year old. He's like 26.
Nice.
And he's had a very kind of rough upbringing, I think. He originally lived with his family, and then his mother left when he was like 8. And then he was kicked out of his father's house by his stepmother when he was older, and then he moved back in with his mom. And now I think his mom and him have like a really deep relationship and connection, which is kind of lovely. But like besides for that, additionally, his mother got really sick when he got fibromyalgia when he was young, I think probably right around 17, which is kind of noted in this song at a point. He's also dealt with some illness. So it's a lot of back and forth, but also his beginning is really interesting because he used to just play at local joints. He started playing music and writing music when he was pretty young, a teenager. But he was spotted performing in a pub by Ben Howard's manager.
What?
And that's how he was discovered, is Ben Howard's manager heard him playing in, like, 2013 at a pub.
Oh, my gosh.
And then took him under his wing and, like, signed him.
That's funny. You're a big Ben Howard fan as well, so that's funny.
I do like Ben Howard, yeah. So it was kind of, didn't even know that. This is, 17 Going Under is the title track of his second album, which just came out this year. And it's interesting, he talks about how this album felt a lot different to him than his first album, and that in a lot of ways, because he's had such a difficult financial upbringing in his life, he felt like he was marketing his music to what would be more popular.
Ah.
And then after he had his own dealing with illness and COVID, he said, it was such a stagnant time that I had to go inwards and find something because I was so uninspired by the lifetime we're living in.
Wow.
And so he thought in this second album, he's a lot more self-reflexive. He's a lot more intimate and honest about his own feelings and his own experience. And in a lot of ways, I think this song is very kind of much a like self-portrait of his own adolescence, and specifically the kind of tipping point between being young and being an adult, which is 17. So that was a very long spiel about him. He's just a very interesting guy. So
no, he for sure is.
I like this song. Yeah.
I also I didn't know a lot of what you just shared with us, so I think that is super insightful. But also I really like that he was so honest about that. That's not something I'm sure a lot of artists that are either kind of not necessarily made it yet, or they want to, I don't think they would be that honest with themselves. And you know, because a lot of the times this, like, I'm sure as an artist your dream is to be on the radio, you know, and stuff like that, or one of your dreams. And a lot of the times those real, quote-unquote, real songs that talk about real things are not what's going to be played. But yet you have this clearly, as you said, very autobiographical song that is so popular. So it's just, it's nice and refreshing. And I will say, on a different note, he is, like, aggressively British.
He's so British. If you hear him talk, I'm like, oh, my God, it's so funny. I was watching an interview earlier with him or something too. It's interesting too because I think talking about the song as a self-portrait of his adolescence, talking about anger and specifically maybe male's anger. There is something too about it that feels honest, like the British youth male experience a little bit. Yes. In the song too, which I don't know, we can hear perhaps.
Yeah, but there's a specific part of the song that kind of addresses that. But unless you have any other comments you'd like to say now, we can listen to a little bit.
No, let's get going.
Okay.
I remember the sickness was forever. I remember snuff videos. Cold September's, the distances we covered, the fist fights on the beach, the busies round us up. Do it all again next week in embryonic love. First time that it's scarred, embarrass yourself for someone, crying like a child. And the boy you kicked Tom's head in still bugs me now. That's the thing, it lingers and claws you when you die.
Things I just want to say right off the gate, but I mean that freaking saxophone.
I literally adore the saxophone. First of all, I think there's something so, the saxophone doesn't get used enough in modern day songs. Yeah. It feels very underappreciated, but I feel like it 1000% kind of adds intensity to that part of the song. And
yeah,
I don't know, it just, it's a great addition. I love that he did it.
I know. And it's so interesting because the rest of it is just drums, piano, guitars. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like he's adding another brass or anything. And yet that saxophone fits so well in that piece.
Yeah, it does.
And I love, I don't know, he like just doesn't give a shit about typical song structure either. The fact that he opens with two verses, goes into a chorus, the chorus changes lyrics every time and kind of formatting too. And he's like, this is just the song I'm writing. I don't, it doesn't really matter to me. And
well, see, that goes back to what you said, though. Like, exactly what you said. He had to, like, dig deep and not make music just for the intention of, you know, making it popular, but something that was personal. Yeah.
And that he needed to tell the story this way in this song, so he just wrote it this way. I also, maybe his voice isn't, like, a typical perfect voice or anything like that, but I do love, like, the way he sings and he articulates and he adds so much energy. This song is so interesting because so many of the topics discussed in it are kind of heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this is a song like you could imagine just going like buck wild on a dance floor too.
Yeah. Well, I also really like that you said that because, and don't, no hate at all, but I had listened to this obviously in preparation for this because I hadn't heard it prior, but I didn't love it. And then I had gone onto YouTube, I sound so old. I had gone onto YouTube and watched a live version of this, and oh my goodness, it is so good live. First of all, the crowd's energy, I feel like in all the live videos I've seen, is amazing, and he clearly feeds off of it, and he just brings such good energy, and that is that like makes you like a song so much more sometimes. And the fact that I've now listened to it a couple times live versions, it made me like the song so much more than like the studio, just because you can feel it.
That's funny, because earlier I was going to say, there are certain songs you know would just be so good to see live with the crowd energy, and this is one of them. I can't even imagine the energy the audience would bring to this and how he would feed off of that. It'd be so good.
100% one of them. I think it's really kind of almost classic storytelling the way he starts it, and that whole long, not massively long, but it's kind of a longer verse.
Yeah.
But it's essentially his kind of growing up and things that, you know, just like the boys do and stuff like that as they're kind of just like shooting the shit and all of that. And I did really like how throughout this song, I didn't know necessarily what was going on all the time with some of the words he uses, which I am assuming are just very British. But I think that adds to the authenticity of like his story and
Yeah, and his experience for sure. So much of that first verse, as you've said, just depicts like the highs and lows of youth. And I love that it opens with the I remember, and I remember that parallel structure, because you can tell that this is obviously a reflection of what you felt like through the lens now of being an adult, and you're able to look at it with this lens. But yeah, like you get the fist fights on the beach. I love that juxtaposition too between, which highlights those like highs and lows, between that anger, that ever-present anger, just the fist fights, just the boys being fucking boys, and you know, in that stereotypical way, versus following it up with an embryonic love, like that early, really early baby love, the first time that it scarred, embarrass yourself for someone, crying like a child. This love, which feels like an adult feeling and trying to do it, but embarrassing yourself, crying like a child, which just kind of speaks to that feeling, which is like through this whole song of being on the cusp of adulthood, but still feeling like a child. Like you feel like you should be an adult, but you're not an adult fully yet. Yet you're dealing with adult things, but you're still a teenager and you don't know how to comprehend all those things. So
no, yes, exactly. And then you have crying like a child and the boy who kicked Tom's head in still bugs me now. That's the thing it lingers and claws when you're down. And that end of that verse one goes into the second verse where it talks more about anger. And I think it's interesting that even there, just, you know, some childhood bully, like kicking his friend or whatever, which I'm sure the vast majority of people have experienced like bullying. And even something like as little as that, that kind of is the seed of anger even is seen that early in life when you're just like a teenager. Yeah. And that sometimes is something you'll carry through. And even he like clearly does. And it still bugs me now is what the line is right after that. And then that kind of leads into the more intense anger of this more adult bully, let's say, verbally like abusive to him, but then like actually maybe abusive to his mom and things like that. I think that's really kind of a powerful way to carry the anger throughout the whole song. And I think that's also why so many people are connecting with it on TikTok.
Yeah, it's very honest. It's just looking at it straightforward. And I think I love that line too, that's the thing, it lingers and claws you when you're down. These things we do when we're younger that maybe we aren't totally proud of or don't love looking at back now, but that is true. There's things I did that I still will think about and like cringe and be like, oh my God, why did I do that? Oh, you know, maybe it's a slightly different version of it. But the way it develops into that very adult feeling of that anger, I was too scared to hit him, but I would hit him in a heartbeat now. That's the thing with anger. It begs to stick around. That feeling there does feel very realized, like very true.
Verse two is just really powerful, I think. Like, well, the whole song is, but verse two especially because it focuses so much on anger. And then after the line, that's the thing with anger, it begs to stick around so it can fleece you of your beauty and leave you spent with nought. To offer makes you hurt the ones who love you. And that line as well is kind of like a gut punch because so often people don't think about that. Like when you're angry, you think it's an internal thing that you kind of, it eats you up inside, but then a lot of the time you do take it out on the people who you love, who you, obviously it's not intentional, but it's like a side effect because the anger is eating you up and you don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. And the fact that it goes straight into the chorus makes you hurt the ones you love you. And then the chorus is you hurt them like they're nothing. And it's like this chorus that you're like trying to rally around, but you're saying something that's, it's true that like anger, especially anger when you're younger, is so easily spread outwards. And it's inwards and outwards. But the people you love the most are the ones who a lot of time get the brunt of it. And because they're the people probably internally that you're, I hope they'll stick around, even if they'll, I do do this thing, even though you're not thinking that. But so I love that too. They, you hurt them like they're nothing. I spent my teens in rage, spiraling in silence. And I arm myself with a grin, cause I was always the fucking joker, buried in the humor. So why noise and boy?
thinking about this earlier, and I still don't know how to articulate it, but there's something that feels so British 2010s to this song.
That's funny.
Does that make sense?
I could see that. Ish. It's interesting. A lot of his influences, I think he said Bruce Springsteen is one of his biggest influences, but he also talked about how Green Day was one of the first things he learned to play. So I feel like that fits into that a little bit, that like feeling of like, I don't even know what to say, Britpunk.
Yeah, I was going to say like on the verge of kind of punk rock type of stuff. Oh, and again, just the sax. This is like my petition for more artists to use saxophones in their songs. Truly such a... It just gets me going. Who says that? Saxophones get me going, but it gets me going in this song.
No, so. It's true. I love this second half of the song, too. It's maybe... It kind of gets even narrower in its scope of his memories, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like it just talks a lot about, I feel like, the posturing that men often have to do about their own feelings. Like, with I spent my teens in range, spiraling in silence, and I armed myself with a grin because I was always always the fucking joker, you know, buried in the humor amongst the white noise and boys. Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, not to just read the whole verse, but, so I love that it kind of points at that even more specifically. Also, a mirrored picture of my old man, which seems very weighty, like, I'm assuming that's obviously not an image she probably wants to reflect.
No, yeah. Though it seems like he's potentially close to his dad now, more so, because I was looking on his TikTok earlier, and I think, or at least, like, they clearly had some communication issues, and, like, he wrote a song about it. Nice. And so it seems like they're closer now, but, which is... Clearly, I'm assuming he's let go of some of that anger.
That's awesome, which is so freaking hard.
I love that you brought that up, though, because in the first verse, it says crying like a child, and then here in the third verse, it, like, delves deeper into those kind of complex feelings that I think so many men, no matter the age, kind of feel. Obviously, as kids, you feel it less because you don't necessarily feel the pressures yet, but younger men... And he, I think, even did an interview on it, because I was looking on Twitter, too. I just, like, stalked him on social media before this. He actually did, like, I only saw a short segment, but an interview with someone talking about toxic masculinity and how it's super apparently prevalent, I don't know if more so than in America, but in British culture, to really repress those feelings and kind of not talk about, like, how you're really feeling and things like that. So... And he specifically mentioned, like, when he was younger, being bullied and not crying, but crying when he was alone at home. And so clearly, and I mean, like, we've all heard it, you know, men grow up, like, feeling that they can't cry or whatever. But I think here, mixed in with the feelings of just anger, feeling like you can only show anger and not the other feelings of vulnerability that are often associated with it.
Yeah, and how, like, a lot of those feelings just get channeled into anger because they can't depict it. That or having to laugh it off or whatever it is, which is so true. And I love that verse goes into the chorus. That's God, the kids look so sad, which is just like a heartbreaking line. The kids look so sad. And there's not even that much to be said about that, but that line just.
Ooh. No, and I feel like there are so many good lines in here. And it's just like they're all kind of... weighty when you don't think about it necessarily at first listen or glance, but they kind of all are, and they say so much even though they're kind of simple.
I mean, I think that with the bridge too, it's so interesting because I love the way he sings it with the she said the debt that, you know, like the, it goes up like the debt and then and wept and it's like fun the way he says it almost, and yet this is the bridge, I think, where he's mostly talking about when his mother was ill and he almost turned to selling drugs to support the family because there was a lot of financial difficulties. And so this is a really heavy bridge, and it's just interesting how he sings it.
This whole song is such an interesting dichotomy because it is intense lyrically and autobiographically when you take into account that this is his life. Yeah. But it's a fun song. The beat is upbeat, you know, and you want to dance to it. And you want to dance to the song whose lyrics are down.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's just, like, such an interesting choice that he made.
It is.
Here.
It is. And I feel like, in a way, it's almost similar to that feeling of anger, of needing to channel, like, the other feelings get channeled into anger, where it's almost like all these feelings are channeled into this outpour of emotion. And another thing I just noticed about the bridge, too, is in other verses, I feel like we sometimes get some more reflection on the feelings that he's actually feeling or that he's hiding and suppressing. And in the bridge, it really is almost just looking at the memory of it. There is not much self-reflection, which I think kind of speaks to the heaviness of what's being talked about, too. Mm-hmm. Just being able to recall it for exactly how he saw it, but not necessarily how he felt about it.
Yeah.
And then it ends with, I'm 17 going under, which I think is just such the perfect summary of this whole piece, which is, I'm 17, and when you're 17, you should feel like you have everything ahead of you. But at the same time, you feel like you're drowning already, or like feel like you're not sure how to take that next step, and as if the world's already ending.
No, and I think it's interesting too, because how old is he actually? You said he's 25, 26. Right? Or 26 is it? Yeah. Really, when you think about it, he's not that old.
Yeah.
But, and retrospectively, some people might be like, "Oh, you know, you're 17. Like everyone goes through shit," which is obviously an attack, but. The kind of emotional intelligence and maturity he already has to be looking back on something that was not all that long ago, it's less than 10 years ago, is incredibly impressive. And I think it's really shows that he's in tune with who he was even when he was younger. Clearly, like, grown so much from it. And I just think that's really lovely.
Yes, that's my probably just favorite thing about this whole piece is just the pure honesty of it. And I feel like artists can be honest, like some artists choose to be honest, but they don't always choose to be honest and have that specificity, and to have such a raw specificity in this piece with that honesty is lovely.
Honestly, that's my biggest takeaway from this episode, you talking about him, learning about him and listening to this. He seems like he's just a genuinely honest artist at his core. He makes great music and is an honest artist.
I love that. That's a perfect wrap up.
Thanks. I loved this song.
Yay, I'm so glad. And I'm actually really glad that you did look up live versions of it, because I think there is really something like magical about the live versions of this.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Also, look at you getting to be his, or probably were his fan a little bit ago before he's blown up, and he's about to blow up even more than he kind of has.
Yeah, I'm excited to see his trajectory. I think this latest album is expanding his fan base for sure.
Once again, God bless TikTok.
God bless
bringing
TikTok.
Artists to a wider audience.
The new age of music distribution.
Indeed.
What are we going to be doing next week, Shaden?
So, I was really debating doing a Low Roar song, but he is proper depressing.
Yes.
Like, in the best way. Mm-hmm. Like, he does the best sad songs. But I decided not to do that to us.
Okay.
So, we're going to do something kind of upbeat as well. I know you're familiar with Amber Run.
Yes.
Yes. So they have some really great, like, slower songs, but I decided to do What Could Be As Lonely As Love, which is an upbeat one off of their Philophobia album.
Oh, I don't know if this one doesn't jump on the top of my head, so I'm going to have to listen. I'm excited.
It's probably not one of their, like, top 10 or anything, so I like to keep you on your toes.
That's so fun. I love that. I think that wraps us up, so.
I think so.
As our closeout, you know the drill. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, @songsthatsendus. If you're a Spotify listener, please give us a follow so you can know when our new episodes are out. And if you're an Apple Podcast listener, give us a rating, give us a review. We love to hear from y'all. And keep the good vibes going. Maybe put the song on in the car. Maybe scream out a little bit while you do it. Release that anger.
Especially when you're stuck in traffic.
It's
a great song.
There you go. I love that.
Yeah. Hype up.
And we'll love you and leave you.
We're going to love you and leave you.